There comes a time when it's more than just fantasy, when it's more than just a dream. There comes a time when you are the coach. Those players out there taking huge hits, smashing sixes and kicking goals, they're your players. It's your pride on the line, all in the name of bragging rights. When the time comes, there is only one place to turn. There is only OTLS Fantasy Sports Radio.
Hello, listeners, and welcome back to listening to our Round 3 wrap. A week that saw disaster and devastation and everything in between. Now, to tell us all how his woeful scores weren't his fault is Archie. Arch, do you want to vent now or do you want to vent later?
Look, Zano, to tell you the truth, none of this is ever my fault, I'll be honest. You know, the outcome of a poor week in scores, the end result is nothing to do with what I've done. Now, I feel a bit like Paul Pierce. Have you seen that story today, Zano?
I have not. I've been a bit busy today, unfortunately. I've had no time looking at it. Go on, tell me about it, though.
So, yeah, Paul Pierce, ex-NBA player, has got a job presenting with one of the media companies over in America.
Yep.
Now, look, all he did, and you know, he ended up getting fired from his job, who essentially the company that hires him is Disney, right?
Yes.
And all he did to get fired was to do an Instagram live whilst he had strippers at his house and was smoking weed.
Right.
Now, who would have thought that the end result would have been that he lost his job with effectively a company that is all about the kids? Mate, I mean, that's a bit crazy.
If every NBA player got sacked for doing that, there'd be no NBA.
Well, yes, but the NBA players aren't employed by Disney,
no,
whereas Paul Pierce is. So, look, there's a bit of a conspiracy theory going around that he did it deliberately to get out of his contract. He didn't like what he was doing.
Fair enough.
But, yeah, I just thought it was funny, you know, when you said how it was not my fault. Well, yeah, Paul Pierce, maybe he's a smart man, maybe not. We'll have to wait and see, I suppose.
Doesn't get you out of a contract like having dope and strippers in the background, that's for sure.
Exactly, exactly. Imagine if we did that with our job, Zano.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I wouldn't be worried
unfortunately,
about the job. It would be worried about explaining to the missus why I got sacked to be the problem.
Well, true. I was just saying, unfortunately, we don't have a bazillion dollars in the bank like he does as well.
Exactly.
But you did mention, Zano, that it was disaster and devastation everywhere, and there's a long list of injuries. And one of the benefits, I guess, of recording the podcast on a Tuesday night instead of a Monday night is we do get a lot of the injury reports out from the club. So we've got a bit more info than what we would normally have on a Monday night. So we'll start with Thursday night's game. Jeez, it was that long ago. I've nearly forgotten who played when. But Jared Pollock did a hammy early in quarter two. He was replaced by Kyron Hayden there for North. And for draft players, Jed Anderson did an ankle late in the second, tried to come back on after halftime, but didn't last very long. Zano, would you like to explain to the listeners how that's your fault?
Well, no. It can't be. It's got to be your fault.
Well, you were the one that was talking him up in the chat, saying, is Jed Anderson now a fantasy option in salary cap leagues?
And I did say that.
Literally 5 minutes after you said that, done.
It was literally a case of, hey, should we be considering Jed Anderson in salary? And 5 minutes later, I was like, don't worry.
Yeah.
We've moved on from that. Yeah, it'll be interesting how long he misses, but yeah, it didn't look good, did it?
Yep, so any North Melbourne supporters out there at OTLS Zano, you can hit him up. Fairly certain you've got bigger issues to think about at the moment if you're North Melbourne supporter.
Exactly.
Ryan Gardner, saying, I didn't see this, but he lasted all of about 30 seconds by all accounts. Injured his shoulder very early in the game. He literally played 1% of game time.
Oh, wow.
And he was replaced by Paddy Lipinski. He had a pretty good game too.
Yeah, luckily I had him as a – had no choice because I was decimated in the league and had Lipinski on field and he played in the end. So that was nice.
Very nice. Now, this one, Zano, Jared Witts, this one hurts. He hurt his knee in the third, and it's been announced today that he's out for the season with an ACL. Which is a real worry for, obviously, Witts owners. What was interesting with this one, Zano, is I'm a Riley O'Brien owner in Dream Team, and he was on 33 points at the 21-minute mark of the third quarter when Witts went off.
Yep.
And he finished on 96. Now, if your maths is any good, Zano, that's 66 points in about 1 1/3 quarters. once he went off and he was rucking against Burgess and I don't know who else they had there. But yeah, rucks against Gold Coast is going to be very, very handy over the next few weeks, I think.
Yes, it will be. It was O'Brien needed it, but we'll give that the second.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wasn't too bad at all.
Now, moving on to Richmond, Dion Prestia did a hammy in the first quarter of the game and was replaced by Dan Rioli. For Essendon, Mason Redmond did a hammy. Seems to be the round for hammies, Zano.
It does, doesn't
he
it?
He was subbed off at halftime for Tom Cutler. And in a devastating blow for Jade Gresham owners in draft leagues, he did his Achilles.
Yep.
And he'll be gone for the season as well. He was replaced by Ben Long. For Eagles fans, after having an absolute blinder of a game, he was on 127 fantasy points with about 10 minutes to go in the game.
He was literally
making his way off the ground, and Luke Shuey did another hammy. So he will be out for a while. You'd think 3 to 4 weeks. He was replaced for the last 10 minutes by Zach Langdon. Probably good news for those salary cappers like myself who have... Xavier O'Neill, I think O'Neill. It is.
Yep.
Yeah. So he should come back in to replace Shuey, you would think.
Possibly,
think. Now, Freo, Zeno, how's their form? Yeah, absolutely. So Hayden Young, he was subbed off at halftime with a... He took a knock to the knee from Casbolt, so he'll be gone for a little while. He's a trade out. And
I thought it was a hammy I heard today.
Was it? Yeah, yes. Okay.
A hammy, which would be 3 to 4, but...
Yeah, okay, gotcha.
Try and confirm that. Go ahead.
Gotcha. And Lachie Schultz. Now, Zane, I've been quite impressed by Lachie Schultz,
I must admit,
the first couple of weeks. Just a little live wire, very much, I guess, in that, I hate to say it, but Hayden Ballantyne mold.
Yes.
Just pops up everywhere, snaps these little goals from the pocket, all that sort of stuff. Now, he, mind you, he was being pretty quiet. He had only 2 possessions into the third quarter. Before getting taken off after he smacked his head on the turf.
Yep.
You would expect that he misses next week if it's a concussion issue.
Well, it's been confirmed a concussion, so he misses 12 days regardless.
Yep.
That's confirmed on the sheet. And just to confirm, Hayden Young is a hamstring to be confirmed yet. So I'd imagine 3 or 4 out of that.
Yep. That's it. So he's a definite trade if you do have him. Now, Zeno, we thought Freo was bad.
Mm-hmm.
How's GWS's form? Wow. So already got, obviously, Lachie Whitfield's out. There's a couple of others off the top of my head. I can't remember who are also out. But then they go into this game. They lose Davis early on with an old man calf injury.
Yep.
Now, he will be out for 6 to 8 weeks, they sort of said today.
That's what it says.
He was replaced by Nick Shipley on the field, who could, funnily enough, start to become a bit of an option, I might add. then they lost their captain, Cogs, and I also might add he was my captain in Dream Team, so I was stoked with that, as you can imagine.
Yep.
Syndesmosis, Zeno, our favourite injury.
8 to 10.
That I struck with. 8 to 10, yes. So he's obviously a definite trade in salary cap. And, well, you want to have some decent depth if you've got him in draft, don't you?
Yeah, I've got him in our main keeper draft, Arch. Funnily enough, I actually benched him this week. Didn't even have him on my emergency list. So I run a bit deep there, which is nice. So, but I'm going to try and palm him off to a few people, I think, see if I can get a trade done there because I'm in a window and I don't need to hang on to him. So,
Now, then, if that wasn't enough, Zano, if that wasn't enough, Matty DeBoer, after holding Clayton Oliver nearly scoreless for most of the game, he did a hammy, and GWS announced today it was a good one. So he's actually ruptured his tendon in his hammy, so he'll be out 10 weeks. And we mentioned the difference it made when Witz went off for Riley O'Brien. Same sort of thing here with Oliver. So... Once Matty DeBoer went off, he scored 41 points in just over a quarter.
Yeah.
So it got him to a somewhat respectable score.
Mm.
But I did see that Big Max on the radio today, he mentioned that he's expecting the Geelong tagger to go to
O'Connor.
Oliver.
Yep.
O'Connor to go to Oliver.
Who's been tagging everybody out of the game lately.
Mm. Yep.
So, Yeah, you might be right there. Look, I don't like to, you know, ever think an injury is a good thing, but I am not so disappointed about the Matty De Boer injury, I'm afraid. I can live with that one, Arch.
Yep. Well, it's good. I guess, look, I hate to see it because, he does his role and he does his role very well.
Exceptional.
But it makes a big, big headache for fantasy owners. So GWS have been giving up a ton of points and this certainly is not going to help him. And Zano, if that is not all, there is one more that came out today. Harry Perryman. Turns out he's got glandular fever and he'll be out for 2 weeks. Now, he might be out for 2 weeks, but we do know what glandular fever can do to, you know, to athletes. It took Isaac Heaney probably close to 12 months to fully recover when he had a bout of glandular fever, and it actually put Alec Waterman out of the league for a few years.
Yep.
Great to see that he's back in with Essendon now, but it's not so much the original, I guess, illness that gets you. It's the lagging lack of energy that can really hurt you. So that'll be interesting to see how he comes up.
Yeah, I don't know how bad it is. I don't know. But with all their other injuries, it's the last thing they needed, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely. You certainly hope that he was following protocols and was isolating himself and not kissing any teammates.
Yeah, well, there's always that too.
And lastly, Zano, in the last game of the round, Francis Evans got subbed off very, very early in the second with an ankle injury, replaced by Charlie Constable. Again, nothing fantasy relevant there from an Evans point of view, but it was handy for me who I had Constable as no choice on the field sort of thing in one of my draft leagues, so I was glad he got on.
Yeah, it's been like that this year.
Yep.
It'd be interesting to see what happens there next week. Geelong have had another couple of injuries, of course, so Higgins... Higgins, did you put Higgins in there?
Oh, I didn't put Higgins in there. No, maybe I was blocking that out. Yeah, so Higgins did a hammy. He will be out for, I think they said 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh,
so that will...
Not updated yet, sorry. Oh, yeah, there it is, to be confirmed. Sorry.
Yep. So you'd think with a hammy and with his age being, I think he's 30 or so, maybe 31. He'll be out at least 3 weeks, you'd think. They'll be pretty cautious with him, which is probably good news for Constable. It'll mean he'll get a bit more of a run. He'll be highly unlikely to be the sub next week, you would think.
Yeah, well, I think they're expecting Cameron and they're expecting, who is it? Oh, Menegola, probably back this week as well. So, and then Dangerfield's got one more to miss. So I don't know how if they get any more injuries. It'd be interesting to see how many of those guys hold, but time will tell. Clark could be the biggest issue, to be honest, going forward once those guys are back.
Cool. All right, Zano, I'm going to go and come back in about half an hour once you run through all the suspensions for the week.
So we'll skip time, Arch. We'll get the time machine because we're done. Look, nothing, which is surprising. It's I must admit, maybe the players are finally learning about what they're allowed to and not allowed to do. I was listening and catching up on a podcast today, and of course Titus and Serge from the Variety Hour were talking about how you know, how many times does the parent have to tell the child to stop doing something stupid until they stop doing it themselves. So
yes, I did hear that one. Yeah,
that was in relation to watching a child put a fork in a PowerPoint and the parent having to intervene. It's like that with the AFL, and he nailed it, saying the AFL have given you all the tools and told you how many times to not do this, or you'll be in trouble, and you keep doing it, you know? So I thought that was brilliantly put. Well done. I love Titus, of course. He's brilliant at what he does, and yeah, it was spot on, Arch. Maybe they finally learnt that, oh, hang on, maybe I shouldn't take that risk and do that anymore. So with all the injuries, the last thing we needed was a heap of suspensions, so
absolutely
God we dodged that bullet.
All right, Zano, so let's jump straight into the good, the bad, and the ugly. And this week, Zano, I thoroughly enjoyed watching this game. My good goes to the Sydney Kids, not the Sydney Mids, but the Sydney Kids. It's just so much fun to watch. I was watching on the couch, I think it was, this afternoon, watching a replay of it. And they actually showed, and Jared Healy in particular was talking about the change in game plan when they're defending. And he was saying last year the Sydney team would defend by running backwards away and clogging up space and that sort of thing.
Yep.
They've actually changed their mindset and they're now running forward to the ball to pressure the guy with the ball pressure the ball carrier to yep. create the turnover that way. So they're pressuring forward rather than back.
Yes.
And you know, we're seeing the proof in the pudding there. They're 3-0, Zeno. Who would have thought that at the start of the year?
And they're beating some decent teams as well. It's not like they're beating, you know, bottom-end teams like North Melbourne and
yep.
St Kilda, I guess, at the moment, and GWS. They're beating good teams, so...
Yeah, well, they knocked off last year's premiers, so...
Exactly.
They're going all right. And how's this, Zeno? Their next four games, they play Essendon at home.
Yep.
Then GWS, technically, that's at home. I'm not sure if that's a GWS home game at the SCG or whether it's a Sydney home game.
Don't know. Yep.
They then play Gold Coast at Metricon. Oh, sorry, next three games. Gold Coast at Metricon. Then it gets a little bit harder, I must admit, after that. Yep. But the next three games... looking pretty good for him and looking really good for our cash cows, Zeno.
Mm.
How's this? Goulden, how's he going? 99.7 with a break even of minus 18.
Yep.
He goes all right. Then we've got, what was the joke that's doing the rounds on the weekend? When Warner turns up at the MCG and on a 30 degree day, you know it's in. You're in for a good one.
Yep.
It just wasn't Davey.
Wrong one.
This time. It was Chad. So he's averaging just under 80. He's got a break even of minus 23.
Yep.
Even Sam Wicks, he's averaging 91.3. Now, no one started with him because I think he's a little bit pricier than the rest.
Yes.
But he turned up on the weekend as well. I think he got maximum coaches votes.
Yeah.
He's got a break even of 11. And then even the guys that are doing, you know, aren't doing as fantastically well as that. You look at Braden Campbell, he's got a break even of 16, averaging just under 64. And Logan McDonald, which no one started with because he's a key position player and was a high draft pick, so he was quite pricey. But even then, he's still going at 60.3 with a break even of 25. So, you know, if you do have him, you're not upset with that.
No, absolutely not. It's like you look at it as well, they've had two guys in that list that have been nominated for the Rising Star in the first 2 weeks, and you know Wicks could well be the third guy this
week.
Yeah,
well that's true. Yep.
So
I think he might be too old, Zeno. I could be wrong. They said that in coverage.
I thought they said he could be. Anyway, he may not be. So,
yep.
But we'll have to wait and see on that. But yeah, there's a chance if he's eligible. There's a chance that he could be 3 in 3 weeks, which says a hell of a lot. So, just some news in quickly, Arch, as well.
Yes.
It looks like Dylan Shield could be out for the season.
Yeah, rightio.
Torn meniscus by the looks.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So, initially expected to miss 4 to 6, but understanding that he may now not get back for the full year.
Which they would be loath to bring him back. Let's face it, it's not going to be a fantastic year for Essendon, so there's no need to rush him back.
I don't know, they played pretty well on the weekend. So,
well, that's true. I think that was the abnormality. Oh, I could be wrong, you know.
That's
it's not
right.
Like I haven't been wrong before, but
no,
yeah.
That's it.
But just back to Sydney, Zeno, from a fantasy perspective, I mean, even if you look at not just their rookies, but their other guys, Lloyd's been doing, look, he hasn't hit the high highs that we have come to expect previously, but he hasn't been poor.
No.
He's been quite solid. And Mills, now he's finally moved into that midfielder role that 3 years later than we actually thought he would. He's averaging 105 for the season and is, you know, he will be in the top six defenders for the year, you would think, without too much drama there. Luke Parker, he's averaging 99. Even Jordan Dawson, 84 as a defender. Yep. And they're fun to watch, Zeno.
And Hickey had a blinder on the weekend as well.
Yes,
even the Ruckman's running around having big games. So.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, yes, well done to the Swannies. And I'm looking forward to watching them again this week against Essendon.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see. So, Zeno, enough about my good. What gets your good?
So, Arch, after round one, we got a bit stuck into the rucks. Remember that?
We
were pretty unhappy with them. We thought that the rucks were dead. Forget about it. Just trade all your rucks out and get better players in. Now, last week we mentioned the rucks is one of the goods where they'd done pretty well. Well, after absolutely canning them so hard, I had to do it again, Arch, to make up for it, because this week was exceptional from the rucks. Let's put it that way. So I'm going to rattle off some of the scores this week. So Grundy had a 152 in DT and 162 in Supercoach. Gorn, 135 and 163. So, you know, just... close to, and over 300 points if you went the set and forget boys. McAvoy, 98-94. ROB, 96-101. English, 91-85. And Goldie, 86-101. So I reckon that the average from those guys in round one wouldn't have been over 70.
Yeah, you're probably right there. I'll give you that.
I'll have to, don't quote me, but I would be surprised if it was.
It would be close.
The lowest score they had this week was an 86. So, yeah, massive turnaround by the Ruckman. And I don't know if it'll continue or not, but there was a lot of Ruckman being vice-looped on the weekend, that's for sure.
How's those people? Do you reckon there's anyone out there, Zano, that traded out Gorn after he had a bad round? And then traded out Gaff after he had a couple of bad rounds.
Absolutely. I know there's a lot of people that have traded out guys like Gorn and Gaff because you're riding the break evens early if you've had no other issues. So, 100%, mate. And Grundy as well at one stage. Riley O'Brien's been spoken about. Even Lachie Neal, even though he's still struggling a bit. He's the other one that's been traded out of a lot of teams. So, it's just a matter of where's your team at, I guess. All right, Arch, let's have a look at your bad.
My bad, Zano. So I try not to talk too much about my own teams, but when it comes to this section, it's typically where it creeps in. And I'm going to talk a little bit about my keeper league in the Draft Doctors Listener League. Now, I took this this team over, I think, at the start of last year, and I'm going to be honest, it's not fantastic. I've got a lot of rebuilding to do. I sort of went half and half this year in terms of drafting with some older guys and some younger guys, but it just hasn't worked out as well. But that being said, here we go, Zano. This was my weekend. So I had Hayden Young. Now, he got injured on 24. As you said, he did a hammy, and he'll be out a little while there. I had Cogs as captain, injured on 26. So that's a whopping, 52 points from my captain, which is awesome. I also had Jade Gresham on 17, done for the season. Dan Butler might as well have been injured. I'm still waiting for him to turn up. He finished on 19. Mitch Georgiades, he had to come on. He had a good week last week, Zano, after coming on as a sub, from what I remember. So I played him on the field, 36. I also have Dyson Heppel, Nick Fluston, Jai Caldwell, and Oscar McInerney, all injured.
Yep.
And then you throw in Mitch Wallace, who was dropped for this week. And it was a pretty horrible weekend all around. So, as I say, it's time to start planning for next season. I think I might look to offload a couple of guys. I've got I've got Guthrie in that league, so I might see if I can turn him into a couple of solid younger players there to somebody who will be looking to contend and wants somebody that can score 150, as Guthrie did on the weekend. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of a worry when after 3 weeks you're already out of finals contention there.
Yeah, it happens. There's another league that we're in with a lot of these guys that I'm out of as well, Arch, but that's because it's decimation time.
Yep.
Makes it hard, but, that's where you can probably, as you said, do some trading, some smart trading, and it doesn't take too long to build a team back up.
All right, you're bad, Zano.
So I'm going to give it to Tyler Brockman. Now, I know that this kid's a rookie. He's only into his second game.
Yep.
But look, again, normally we only ever bring up bads in this, which tends to be our teams. I was heading into the final game of the round with a very respectful, on-field rookie average of 73.
Nice.
Very, very, very happy with that. Now, Brockman came in. Now, all he did all day was drop chest marks, gave silly frees against, and missed tackles. And even with a bit of junk late, he ended up on a 35. I think he was struggling to get to 20 by the end of the game. So he junked up a little bit. That actually dropped my average down massively. So that really actually hurt me, Arch. I was really stoked with my rookies until that happened. And the guy, he had a real good week the week before. I think he had a 60 odd. So it was a tough one to swallow. I probably shouldn't complain too much being the only bad rookie, but we are looking for more than 35 from our on-field rookies, that's for sure.
As I say, it's a bit rough on the young fellas, I know, but, maybe he'll listen to this talking to that you've given him, and hopefully he still makes the team this week and can rectify that for
him. Got to give the pep talk, mate. They know. They'll know. He'll know it wasn't good enough, so hopefully he'll be big and better next week. Well, I'll probably put him on my bench.
Yeah, well, that's it.
okay, I was just getting to your real bad stuff. So we'll talk about your ugly.
My ugly, Zano. So it's rant time. I haven't had one of these, don't think, this season, or maybe last week I did. I'm going to give it to crowd behaviour once again. And we talk about this, sadly, at least once, normally multiple times per year. Now, I don't know if you saw the footage, Zano, but the footage of the Collingwood supporter absolutely giving a baking to the umpires as they left the ground was just horrible. And, you know, the camera pans around a little bit and there's kids all around the place. And this absolute bozo is just acting like a complete idiot. I was going to use some other words there, Zano, but we're family. And just... look, I get that people are passionate about their teams, aren't I? It's one of the things that, you know, we love about footy, we love about our game, and look, sport in general, for that matter, really, is that people follow it. They put a lot of time, effort, and money into it, for that matter. But buying a ticket to a game or becoming a member does not give you the right to flat out abuse other people, umpires or not, I might add.
Yes.
Yeah, and as I think we discussed it before, maybe last year, Zano, but what other profession do you know of that you can go to work and just be expected to get yelled abuse at all game? It just doesn't make sense, you know?
No, I know. And it gets worse when you start looking at things like, I know social media, we all love and hate it. And some of the, and I'm going to use the term numpties, that get on there and have absolutely no clue what they're talking about. And then start abusive rants on that, whether it's players or umpires or officials or whoever it might be. And I understand the passion. I get passion. It's a good thing. But yeah, you're right. People sometimes just need to... check their behaviour at the door a bit, I think. And
look, it's sad, Zana, and it's pathetic, to be honest.
Pathetic,
so channel that passion into positive. You know, I'm all for absolutely go to a game and absolutely go nuts barracking for your team, but you don't need to hurl abuse at the other team, and you definitely don't need to hurl abuse at the umpires. You can absolutely be disappointed in the decisions and all that sort of thing. The other thing that I really don't get, Zano, is look at Isaac Smith on the weekend. Yep. That's a bloke that's given, 12, 13 years of blood, sweat and tears. He's got 4 premierships, I think, for Hawthorn.
3 or 4, yep.
And all they did was boo him all game.
That's traditional, you know, in the AFL. Unfortunately, that's, you know, we're good at that in Australia.
But it's a crap...
It is
traditions. I know there's no point to it. How about saying, like, you look when they go in the NBA, and you know, we do compare a lot of this stuff to the NBA. You look at Kawhi Leonard when he played that 1 year for Toronto and got them a championship there.
Yep.
First game back in Toronto, they gave him a standing ovation.
Yeah.
There were signs up there saying thanks, Kawhi, everything like that. Now that's the sort of thing that we need. You know, there should have been a thanks, Isaac, you know, and it should have been, look, it sucks he's playing for another team, but good luck to him. We definitely got our money's worth out of him, that's for sure.
Absolutely. Australia's very good at building champions up and then wanting to knock them down, unfortunately. It's in our nature, which sucks. And it's fun. I mean, you talk about the negativity and the stuff. I personally don't mind negativity as long as it's constructive. Right? So, you know, if you're ever talking about players or you're talking about anything, obviously it can never be personal and abusive. But if you're talking about somebody that you don't think's up to standard, that's fine. But
there's a difference between criticism and abuse, Zano.
That's exactly
right. And that's the big differentiator there. Absolutely.
Right.
Feel free to go on and lay out your argument. Look, we've just done it about a couple of players, But we're not getting, we're not sitting at the ground, just absolutely hurling abuse at, I don't know, Tyler Brockman, the poor kid that you've just sort of singled out there. We'll say, look, we're expecting a little bit more and it's a little bit tongue in cheek and that sort of stuff. But yeah, when it's just out and out abuse and just the mental energy that you have to go through to get yourself to that point, it's just not worth it.
I think
it,
you nailed it there. It's tongue in cheek versus genuine aggression at times, is the way I'd put it. By all means, we've never met Tyler Brockman, wouldn't know the guy other than seeing him on the TV, but we all know that we're having a bit of a laugh and a giggle about this stuff more so than anything direct. It's when it gets that direct, like some of the stuff you see these days about, and we've just gone through watching a show on Making Your Mark, Arch, and seeing things that, you know, Eddie Betts and his partner and stuff got personally, you know, it's just stuff like that. It's just ridiculous. Yep. So, there's a line, and unfortunately too many people cross it these days, but we could go on about this all day. So
we could, and
probably better move on.
Zano, if Tyler Brockman does listen to this podcast and wants to come on and abuse you, we're more than happy to have him on.
Happy for him to fire back at me anytime you like at OTLS Zano, Tyler. You know my thoughts about your game on the weekend, buddy, so you can happily critique my game anytime you like. Should I stay or should I go now? If I go, there will be trouble.
What gets your ugly?
So my ugly just goes out. We've gone through this arch. It's just injuries, right? We spoke about last year about how the injuries were so bad, but I don't think last year was as bad as we've been copping so far this year.
No, I'd agree.
The amount of relevant players that are just getting injured, whether it's salary or draft leagues, is just extraordinary. I don't have a team at the moment that I'm not carrying injured or missing players for. Full stop. Yep. Anywhere. And that's in every format, salary, draft, keeper, season, you name it. Every single team I've got, I looked over it this morning, I have an injury to deal with. So you normally have injuries to deal with, that's normal, but you normally get somewhere where you've got a clean bill of health. It's just not happening at the moment.
That's it. So why don't we just jump straight into that, Zano, and look at our trades for the weekend. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll let you go first for this one.
Cool. So
tell us a little bit about your trades and what you're looking to do, what injuries you've got to deal with, that sort of stuff.
So, yeah, look, in fantasy, I started with Young and Clark, which was probably a bit of my own fault for starting with mid-priced guys, which we just shouldn't do. But a bit strapped in the back line, as we knew, so that's okay. Obviously, Young has to go. He's injured. So I've had Young go, I've had Dangerfield go, I've had Caldwell go, and I've had Rao go so far. And by no means am I the worst off in injuries. So Young will go for me in fantasy, and I'm thinking I'm going to have to get rid of Clark as well because he's hanging on by a thread in that team at the moment. I'll be bringing a rookie and a prem in, and most likely be able to get Burgess and Lloyd at this stage. So that's what I'm looking at there. In Super Coach, it's just Young that I need to move on to. And the same in Dream Team, just got to move on Young. I'm not sure who to yet. I haven't got any cash there to upgrade him. So it might be riding you have to take a punt on someone like a Fantasia or a Cumming or someone like that. So that's what I'm looking at in those two formats as well. But all three of them, it's basically Young to go. So and go from there. Luckily, I don't have Clark in the other two. I only had him in Fantasy. So
yeah, nice.
Dodge that bullet, Arch. All right, Arch, what are you looking at?
Well, in AFL fantasy, I've got a I've got a cogs problem. Yeah. Zano, the cogs aren't grinding.
No.
So he will have to go, and I will obviously be looking to go him, say, up to a premium. He's a little bit underpriced. That was the reason that I got him, and he's 26 on the weekend. Certainly didn't help with that.
No.
So what I can do with my second trade will be probably Sharp or Highmore down to Burgess. I like the look of him. And with Witts out for the season, as we mentioned, and Zach Smith still a month or so away, he should be required to ruck. Now, I'm not expecting too much out of him.
No.
I'm hoping for 50s. He's priced at 221, break even of -7. So he's got a bit of coin to make there. So if he can get me 50s, I'd be happy with that, to be honest.
Yes.
And then that'll let me get cogs to pretty much anyone I want. I haven't decided yet. But I think Gaff, though, he's probably got another week before he bottoms out in price. Trelaw's really starting to get those CBAs now, which is good, but you just, and that's the same with McRae, you just don't know with the bullies.
No.
Seems like it's Dunkley that's the one that's been moved out.
Which we sort of expected.
Yeah,
because he was on the outer last year, and you add Trelaw into that mix. He's probably the one that missed, but he's still been scoring well anyway, so yeah, you just got to watch that space with the Bulldogs very much.
Zach Merritt would be the one to bring in, but I've already got him. Luckily, one of my good decisions for the season so far was to start with him. And look, the other option, we were talking about the Sydney boys, and you know, we talk a lot about Zeno bringing in guys that you like to watch. So I'm even thinking of bringing Mills in and then move him back, you know, in a couple of weeks or so, and hopefully get rid of one of those. Like, I've got Duggan in the back line, but I'll, now that Shuey's out, I'll probably hold him for a little bit longer. But once once Duggan has done what he needs to do, move Mills back, Duggan out, you know, go down that sort of path there.
Yeah.
That one. So that's what I'm doing in fantasy. In Supercoach, I've got no injuries for once. After having not enough trades last week, I've now, you know, I might not even need to trade. So I'm hopefully putting Fife back on the field. It looked like he trained pretty well today. Obviously, I benched him last week because I had three injured players and only two trades. So he went to the bench. So it'll probably be either do no trades at all or look at playing out a non-playing rookie or maybe Paddy Dow, who might as well not be playing.
Yeah, he may well be missing anyway this week, so be prepared for that.
Yeah, that's it. So at this point of the season, cash generation is still key. So any of those rookies that aren't playing, I'm going to try and see if I can bring someone in there for them. I like the look of – I don't like in Supercoach and Dream Team bringing in players before the bubble. But someone like Alec Waterman, I think he'll be pretty solid for the rest of the year. Burgess, as we mentioned as well. So speaking of Dream Team, I've got big issues here, Zeno. Yep. Once again, I've got Hayden Young and I've got Cogs.
Yes.
So they will both have to go.
Yeah.
Again, Young will probably go to Burgess and then Cogs up to somebody like McRae, maybe Guthrie, a Taranto or Kelly even, probably more a Taranto with Cogs out. Taranto's been going quite well. I think I like that one more at the moment. That'll be the way I go. But obviously these things are fluid, Zeno, and could change, you know, by the time we finish the podcast with some more news now.
Exactly. So spot on. All right, Alex, let's move on to a few questions. So the first question that we've got is from Ando Wallace at Ando Wallace. He's asked, "Hi guys, which injury has derailed my mediocre team? And need your thoughts on trade. Currently Sarong to Dev Robertson, a totally composed second gamer. Then Witz to Grundy thoughts. Sarong seems like a misfire." All right, let's answer that first. Let's leave the Robertson side of that question. We'll come back to that in a second, Ando, because we've got another question on that in a second as well.
Yep.
What are your thoughts about the Witz? I think more the Witz side of things. What are your thoughts there?
Well, he's out for the season, Zeno. I reckon you trade him.
Exactly. Who are you looking? You've got to be looking at trying to get to Grundy or Gorn, don't you?
You do.
No other option?
100%, Zeno. 100%. No more stuffing around and, you know, trying to be pretty with it. Get Grundy or get Gorn. Grundy's obviously a little bit cheaper at the moment and he's actually scoring better. So he's the one to go for.
Yep, exactly. So I think so. Now, on the Robertson, we've also got AJS Hawk has asked the same. David Robertson's job security. Will he be around long enough to make some cash?
Now, Zeno, out of curiosity, do you know which waffle team Devin Robertson happened to play for?
I bet he was north of what, East Frio?
He was certainly, mate. He was certainly. And do you know who his uncle is?
No, I don't.
His uncle is Darren Glass. So he came out of the, you know, the under-18s with huge raps. From memory, he was captain of the WA team. Very, very mature, good head on his shoulders, that sort of stuff. He played, I think it was round one last year. He came in as a late in and then didn't play at all for the rest of the season. I've been keen on this guy for a while. My issue is absolutely what AJ said is his job security. It's not fantastic. You've got Jared Berry coming back in. I would like to see him hold, but realistically, he's probably still in for this week, but it's going to be iffy after that. What are your thoughts around Devin?
He probably won't play this week. And let me read through the Brisbane injury report that's as of today. Another week of tough decisions for the Lions, with regular first 22 players coming back in the frame from injury for Saturday's game against Western Bulldogs at Ballarat. If Oscar McInerney overcomes his ankle injury, he's an automatic in, but that's still an iffy proposition. Here's the important part. After hiccups late last week, Darcy Gardner and Jared Berry should be fine to return, while small defender Noah Answorth has served his two-match VFL suspension and is available. VFL? Mm. That wouldn't be right.
Yeah, well, they all play in the VFL now, Zano.
Oh, that's true. Sorry. Yep,
remember the NIAF got, you know, because the world revolves around Victoria, so that's now the VFL, even though, you know, nearly half the teams are outside of Victoria.
Squeezing players out of the team that beat Collingwood was difficult. The verdict, Gardner, Berry and McInerney in for Payne, Robertson and Ballenden.
Yep.
That's Michael Whiting, who's normally pretty switched on from AFL.
Yeah, Fish is pretty good when it comes to
Fish
that.
Fish is very good on that stuff. So I would say highly unlikely. I was going to get Robertson in, and I've changed my mind now to Burgess just because his job security with Wits going out long-term is so much better. So
yep. So the Lions play, they've got, where is it? Ballarat, Mars Stadium. Yep. That's right, they're playing on Mars.
Yes.
At, well, 11:45 our time, Zano. Mm. So what's that, 1:45 Eastern?
Yep.
Now, the good thing for that is at the time that team gets announced, the only game that would have been played would have been Sydney and Essendon.
Yes.
So you can probably hold off and wait and see because the Gold Coast don't play till Saturday night. So we should have both lots of those teams before the Friday night game kicks off. So just make sure you're near a computer in that, what is it, mad hour on Friday afternoon there. Mm,
to keep an eye on it.
To get it sorted.
I'd still be very concerned outside of a couple of games anyway with players coming back for them. So, I think if he plays, he scores more than Burgess. But you score zero when you're playing in the VFL. So.
Yep, that's it.
Yeah, nah, I wouldn't be too... I think his JS is crap, put it that way.
Yeah.
All right, another question from AJS Hawker has asked. He has Flynn R1 and Meek R2, both scoring well, and if were any other rookies, you'd be happy with their output. But does he need to get Meek out for Grundy Gorn ASAP? He's beating a war chest without destroying his team. Go on, Arch, you may as well answer this one first.
Yeah, look, I don't... It's hard to see if you don't have Grundy or Gorn. It's hard to see him putting up numbers and you're just seeing points walk out the door. That being said, unless you've got $500,000 in the kitty, you've reinvested that money somewhere else. So hopefully you've reinvested well. And those guys, you've made that decision for a reason. Now, that being said, it's important this time of year to make sure that if you're going with Flynn and Meek, that you are generating cash. And I'm going to make an assumption here, Zano. If he's got Flynn and Meek R1 and R2, I'm going to make the assumption that he's probably got Paul Hunter at R3, who he didn't even play last week. And now they're getting, looks like Marshall will be back this week and Ryder probably the week after. He's on his way out there. So if there is a way, AJ, that you can push Meek to R3, still have Flynn as R2, and bring in either Gorn or Grundy, that would be the way to go. Now, Grundy has a break-even of 101 this week, so this is the week to get him. Mm. That would be my thought. If he can get to it, then, yeah, absolutely. Why wouldn't you? But, you know, you say you're building a worn chest. In AFL fan or in all the fantasy games there, you don't earn interest with money sitting in the bank there, Zano. The only way you can generate money is by getting people that are playing. So if you can get rid of Hunter who's not playing and then still get Gorn in, generating money from Meek and Flynn, I reckon that's a win.
As we've sort of said many a times before ourselves, Arch, is the money on the bench isn't making you points or making you more money. So so you've got to be careful of that. Look, the Flynn and Meek bubble hasn't burst yet. I think both have got a bit of time up their sleeve until we'll see their scoring drop away. But you've got to be ready for it because there's every chance they could both put out 40s this week.
Mm.
You know? And it's the old analogy that obviously the money you've saved there, like with all the dramas we're having in the back line, there's just no rookies, right? As we know. So we've had to go to a few mid-price guys and there's guys running around with Young and Clark and Fantasia and, you know, names that you look at and feel sick about sometimes. Maybe in RJ or AJ's, instead of having to go down that path, maybe he's got none of those guys back there and he's got an extra premium or two, you know? So it's about the balance of your team. Yeah, look, they're both scoring okay. Flynn, I think Flynn you're pretty happy with running with for a fair while yet. I like that.
Yeah, agree.
I think Meek's your issue. And, yeah, if you can move him to your bench and just let him be a cash cow and play another premium ruckman, that's the way to go. But I wouldn't do that to cost you something else at this stage.
Yeah. Look, my point, Zano, is I wouldn't be going Flynn or Meek up to Grundy or Gorn because both of those guys should still be playing this week, you would think. If you could get a non-playing ruck, which, as I say, I'm assuming is Hunter, if you can get them up, then great. Because you're taking a red dot off your field or off your bench, for that matter. But I wouldn't be doing that and still having Hunter on the bench.
No.
Because he's not generating you any cash, which is important.
No, that's right. So you're better off looking at trying to do a Hunter down or Burgess or whatever you can try and do there than a Meek or a Flynn up at this stage.
Yep.
But that's it this week, Arch. So, look, thanks again, listeners. As I mentioned earlier, you can hit me up at OTSZano. And any of our stuff that we put up on overthelinesports.com.au, brought to you by Check My House Price. And as we do every week, we just ask everybody to stay safe because we still know that things are crazy around the world.
And you can get me at OTLS Archie on Zano, and we on Twitter. Get me at OTLS Archie on Twitter. And, you know, as we spoke a little bit about before as well, if you're getting to the point in your life where you're just going to the footy to absolutely abuse the crap out of somebody, maybe give Lifeline a call. Have a chat to somebody.
Yes.
Because that's not healthy, Zano. You're not putting yourself in a good mental health position. So please give them a call on 13 11 14 and have a chat with somebody and go to the footy to enjoy it.
Absolutely.
And also, please hit us up on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a 5-star rating and review, and not just us, but all the footy podcasts you do listen to. Zano, you mentioned the Titus and Sergio Variety Hour. That is a great listen. So we'll plug them a little bit on this podcast. Not that they need our help.
No.
But yeah, definitely, if you're looking for a comedic slant on the footy and sport in general, that is a great listen.
And they've actually done 9 weeks in a row, which for them is an absolute miracle. So if you actually listen to the show, you'll know why. But, definitely one of the good ones out there, for sure. But that's it again this week. So thanks again, everybody. Look, best of luck with these trades. We've got plenty to navigate. And, look, we'll be back next week to have a chat then.
Absolutely.
OTLS Sports, giving you the analysis and advice you need to get over the line.